Hello and welcome to the 115th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, let's start off tonight by talking about shirts.
Yeah, that was sort of the topic of the day. The new retro Flying Worm shirt got unveiled. And while it's great that they're doing that and being responsive to, you know, people that want to get their hands on that kind of stuff, you know, there was some debate over whether it was the right design or not.
Well, you know, several years ago, back when Rob started the Mean Green Club, this was pre RV. He had done the classic gray shirt with the Flying Worm logo, and it just said Mean Green on it.
It was cool.
It had the Go Mean Green Club on the back. I still have that shirt, by the way, and I was trying to dig it out tonight, but I didn't. I might actually wear it Saturday. So, but there was a lot of hot opinions on this shirt because it seemed like such an easy idea. A green shirt with that logo that looks so retro, looks great. You could even have made it kind of look retro, you know, that kind of faded design. I mean, that would have really ended up. Instead, they went a different direction with it, and, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, on the one hand, you like the fact they're being responsive to the fans, and, you know, this whole T-shirt concept really got started by, I won't name who started it, but some guy got on Photoshop, took a Nike shirt, and put the Flying Worm on it and said, hey, guys, look at the new shirt, and it created a firestorm of excitement. And then we kind of found out that was sort of a fake deal. Well, the athletic department, give them credit, they went back and said, hey, let's put something out that captures the moment. I don't agree with what they decided to do, but I like the fact that they were taking the initiative to do it. I think 5-10 years down the past, you may not have seen that.
No, I mean, they definitely took the hints there. I mean, it's obvious the fans wanted to see it. The fans like that logo. They love that retro, that green, the worm. It's extremely popular. I do notice on the shirt, on the picture we saw, that it showed the years of that helmet. You think they're going to do other years too? Because
I don't know. That you caught me on that one. I've been looking at that picture all afternoon, and I didn't even think about the years on that. Golly, would they have different year segments?
I
that
don't know.
Seems pretty complex at the last moment.
I just want to see Firefight and Rick if they put like a gold. You know, that gold and blue. Remember that whole debacle?
I would not want to see that either. That's reminds me of the Craig Helwig days, and I've tried to put that out of my memory.
You know what? It's different. This whole season's going to be this throwback. There's going to be some surprises. You know what? If we start winning, I don't care what the shirts look like. I don't
Isn't
care
the
what
truth?
The color they are. You know what? My hat's off for them for selling these, and people will buy them. It's not exactly what I would have chosen, but you know what? To each your own. And I'm sure there's some throwback. People that went to school in the 70s, I mean, I've seen some of the shirts that some of the older guys wear. You know what? They'll buy the shirt. So that's their choice, us being the fans that are always looking for the next cutting-edge thing.
Well, and the other thing I'll say, the picture that they put out there on Twitter was not at the end of this shirt. Was kind of wrinkled. It was dark. You know, I think let's give it a chance.
Exactly.
Let's see it in person. It may be a little bit better than we think.
Yeah, somebody posted on the board, and you could tell that they thought it wasn't a bad picture. I mean, not a bad shirt. They actually saw the shirt in person. They said, it's really not that bad.
Right.
They didn't want to say it looked pretty good because then they would have been gang tackled. But that is, I mean, that's just the mob mentality of the board. So everybody, let's give it a chance. Let's see how it looks. See what else they roll out. We've got 3 days of football, and it could not come soon enough.
Oh, we are so ready right now. I mean, it is, I mean, it couldn't happen any faster. I mean, it's got to happen. It's going to happen. And we are finally going to have a chance to talk about actual football as opposed to, you know, talking about depth charts and rumors and this and that and whatever else. I mean, it's going to be fun to actually see him play the game Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be 101 degrees. It'll be nice and warm out there for tailgating. But you know what? If it's not 100 degrees that first game, then it just doesn't seem like Texas. So hopefully the weather will play in our favor. And we will be a little more, of course, you know, fans from Idaho are like, oh, these guys are from Texas. They're used to it, a lot of their players. You know what? You said you play up there for a while. It's just you're going to feel it, and you can't practice up there. I don't care if they turn the heaters or the air conditioning off indoors or whatever. It's
they
still going to
match.
You can't match the heat out there and everything. So it is one of the things. I mean, it's so hot. I heard somebody say it's so hot that we have those big fans out there to try to cool it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. King DL1 in the chat room saying it's going to be 103 on Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to
wow.
be, oh, that's going to be great. I don't think we should wear the GoMeanGreen.com black shirts.
Oh, no. No black.
We were going to wear black gomeangreen.com shirts in honor of Daryl Dickey's last year, but we decided against it.
No, you know, they're very nice shirts, and we were talking about it earlier. It's just, I mean, you can't wear black with this kind of weather.
No, that's some serious back sweat. All right, so the shirt is going to die down. Hey, did you see the whole Manziel thing? He got half a game. He was suspended.
Yeah, and against, you know, that's against our new, that's the other thing. This is, with being in Conference USA, it's kind of neat. You know, Rice is our conference mate now. You know, it's not Louisiana Monroe or whoever, it's Rice. And you kind of hope that maybe him being out a half is going to help him, but, you know, it probably isn't. They've got so much depth on A&M's team that I'm sure there's a couple other great quarterbacks right behind him. But still, I think the overall thought process on that is that he got away scot-free.
Well, what about if he would have been in the Sun Belt Conference?
If he would have been in the Sun Belt Conference, he might have missed the whole season.
Colton Browning, the quarterback for
Louisiana Monroe.
Louisiana Monroe, first game against Oklahoma. We had this discussion earlier.
Right.
If he would have been in the same situation, do you think it would have been harsher?
I know it would have been. I mean, it's the most corrupt deal. And the scary thing about it is this is a game we all love so much. And this NCAA is on such shaky ground. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, we always felt, and you know, it ever comes up whenever we have a player, eligibility at North Texas is an issue, and everybody's wondering, will they get to play, or will he? You know, what's the ruling on this? Can this transfer play immediately? We never seem to have those go in our way, and so we always have this bitter pill when you hear things like this, on how you know.
Well, we just found out news: Justin Manu, the junior college transfer at tackle, paperwork issue. I guess left the school, came back. They said there were five schools that were recruiting him actively and thought he was okay, but they went back through the paperwork and it looks like he's not going to be eligible, so he's no longer with the team. So, you know, that eligibility thing stings us again, unfortunately. And you got to sit back and say, had Justin Manu gone to Texas A&M, would this still happen, or gone to Texas or a place like that? It's just part of being a mid-major.
Is it just that you submit your application and there's a good old boy system, or is there a lobbyist, or does schools have more clout to be able to throw a big presentation at the NCAA? How does that all work?
I think these big schools, like in the SEC or in A&M or Texas, they own the NCAA. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they have so much money that they own the NCAA, and unless there's just a completely just terrible things going on, like at a Penn State or something like that, they're going to get away with it. And that's just a part of being, and you know what, look at Boise State. I mean, they've been able to get through a lot of these barriers and have a great program. We got to look at it the same way. It's just part of being a mid-major.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about Louisiana Tech and players playing sixth year and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. We just always never seem to get a good thing on those.
We just share. Another thing in the chat room, 97 and 03 is talking about Louisiana Tech just got five players in for a sixth year of eligibility. So, hey, maybe Conference USA will provide some opportunities in that particular regard. But that's interesting that they would get that many players approved for a sixth year.
Yeah, we barely had them approved for a fourth year. So you just never know. All right, so one of the other things that came out today and everybody's talking about, which is going to be official athletic department announcement tomorrow, I know they're loving Brett's little blog entry on, is the Hard Knocks program.
Well, it's going to be patterned after Hard Knocks, but essentially what it sounds like is it's going to be a documentary show that follows the team through the season. And some other programs have done this. UT San Antonio actually did it last year. SMU has done it. But if you're a fan, I mean, it's really neat. I mean, it's like I'm a fan of documentaries. So to have one about my favorite sports team is, you know, the best of both worlds. But they're going to have cameras in the locker room. They're going to have cameras behind the scenes during practices. Things that, you know, typically with the closed practices and the way things are run under Mac, you know, the average fan doesn't get to see. So it's pretty exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing the series.
All right, so here is the challenge. Somebody in this chat room, somebody listening to this podcast, if you are ever anywhere where you're interviewed or talk about North Texas, mention gomeangreen.com.
You better.
You'll get a free gomeangreen.com shirt if you manage to get gomeangreen.com on the show.
Even if it's like in a cough or, you know, something off to the side. If you get us a mention, that would be awesome.
Yes. Say it's the official website for North
but
Texas.
But hey, it's Fox Southwest. It's, you know.
No, you know what? UTSA definitely benefited from that last year.
I mean, you can't help it. And I mean, I think the thing about it is, you know, we're hearing about the budget increase, right? I mean, North Texas went to the Board of Regents, said we want to increase the budget up to $30.4 million. In 2011, we were at $19 million. That tells you how far the budget's moved up. You got the new stadium. You got the updated facilities. Now you've got a documentary. I mean, if you don't think they're not pushing this year,
that's a lot of money.
You're putting some chips on the table, and you just hope. You know, you get this feeling there's just a confidence around this year. I get it from Coach Mack. I get it from RV. They really feel like they're going to have a good year this year, and they're doubling down in terms of the things to help make the most of it. I think it's a smart move. I mean, the move to Conference USA is a big step forward. I don't care what team's left and all that other crap. That is a big step forward, and if you're going to promote a program, you got to do it in the first year of moving to a conference like Conference USA.
Yeah, it's a great time. We definitely, you know, we always talk about schools moving up to division or moving into a conference. They need to make an impact. You hope that all the players are in place and everything else, because, I mean, we've got the facilities. We got the stadium. We got a really good recruiting class, it looks like, coming in right now.
Right.
On paper, everything's looking great. We just got to capitalize on it, and that's where we've dropped the ball previously.
Well, Emmett's in there in the chat room saying we need to go to a bowl this year. I mean, the good news about Conference USA is you got a better chance of getting to a bowl. I mean, there's, you know, 4 to 6 bowl games in play every year for Conference USA, where the belt, you know, had to tell Middle Tennessee with, what, an 8-4 record last year that, oh, sorry, you can't go. So the chances are a lot better in this conference that you can get to a bowl game.
Yeah, I like the way the teams are lined up. I like the way our schedule is. You know, looking at our schedule, and we talked about it last week, some great teams, you know, some good teams that we always wish we played more of. Well, now we've got them, and we really got to capitalize during those games. We've got the push. The students have just, you know, I heard about that.
We had 4,000 students.
That's awesome.
You know, 4,000 students at the pep rally, the student pep rally at Apogee.
I remember when we didn't have that many fans at games.
New Mexico State.
All right.
No, I mean, it's – you definitely feel the momentum, and this is after not so great a year. You know, I mean, let's be honest, we were 4-8 last year. The move to Conference USA is a big deal.
It is.
And you sense that all the way around. Now, here's the other side of it is, can we capitalize? Can we win games that we're supposed to win? Can we win games that we're maybe not supposed to win? You know, that has been the problem, the last 7 or 8 years for this program.
Yeah. The quarterback situation still is a big question mark. Obviously, Derek Thompson is the guy. And whether you like that or not, he is going to start the game. And it's just the way it is. Now, the question is, who else are we going to see that day? I mean, do you have the feeling that we could see all of them play? Or you could see 2 or 3 McNulty out there? You're going to see the freshman? I mean, what?
And this is definitely something we want to talk to Vito about, because I know he's keeping close tabs on it. But I got to tell you, man, if I was to say, we know, like you said, that DT is definitely going to start, and that makes sense. But in terms of the first guy off the bench, if I was having to put money down on it right now, and I'd be interested what the chat room thinks about this, but I would tell you, I think it's going to be Dejon Williams. I think Dejon Williams is the first guy off the bench, which is surprising to a lot of people, because you got McNulty, who's, you know, a handpicked guy from Mac, you know, from his neck of the woods, good kid. And then you've got Brock Berglund, who honestly is the highest rated quarterback we've ever had recruited and brought into North Texas. So it's a real shift in what we thought was going to play out this fall. But if I was to say who I think's going to, and maybe they all get time. You know, hopefully we win the game handily and get way ahead and everybody gets a chance to play. Mm-hmm. But I would say the first guy off the bench is going to be Dejon Williams.
The bench? Oh, gotcha. I'm sorry. I didn't understand either. so, you know, and it's – you keep hearing, and everybody's looking for sound bites. Everybody's looking for Coach Mack to – say something about, you know, who's going to play there, or who's going to be the first one off the bench, or, you know, everybody's looking for some kind of a clue there. And you got that. Some other interesting things that came out this past week were the whole situation with seating behind the guest.
Yeah. The student section typically is reserved to be right behind the opposing team. Okay, so that's on the, I guess it would be the east side of Apogee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's greatness because, you know, I've been down there. I take pictures and go down there and stuff, and it is a madhouse, and they are rude and crude, and it drives the opponents crazy.
So is it a Conference USA rule?
Yes.
Okay, does other conferences have this rule? I don't, because I remember, like, OU, it was, seemed like, you know, we were always stymied down there at the corner, but the students were all behind the visitor side.
Sivo in the chat room saying, back to the Southland Conference rule days. So evidently the Southland Conference had the same rule. So it's not just Conference USA. Now, what we're hearing a little bit on the board is that it may not be that it's very rigorously enforced. Okay.
Well, I mean, it seemed like it'd be hard to, because students are on that general admission side. They're just going to move down.
You know, how do you prove if someone's a student or not a student, or a young alumni or not? Right. You know, I mean, so.
But, you know, this does make a little bit of sense, because you remember when we played at LSU? I wonder if they had that rule, because at LSU, you remember it was the first three rows all behind our bench is where we got to sit.
I didn't sit there.
Now, that was, well, this was the two times before, but I remember that, and I remember people being so spread out. So maybe the other schools have that. I don't know. And maybe at Fouts just went enforced because the players were 30 yards from the side, from the
well,
state.
Well, it's such a nice advantage to have those students jeering at the opposing team. You just hope that they allow that to continue, because we got a good thing in the student section at Apogee. I'm here to tell you that's probably been the best thing from a fan perspective about Apogee, is that student section keeps growing every
single
year. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like Saturday.
In the students, they're loud. I mean, that is, you know, you always talk about the 12th man deal, but that is the extra player on the field, man. That is so loud. And it gets those players fired up, and it makes it hard for the other team to hear. We heard that several times last year.
Think about this. School started Wednesday, so they are just getting going. It's not like years past, like the last 10, 11 years past, where we go and get our ass beat on the road by some on a payday game. Mm-hmm. We actually are undefeated. Everyone's optimistic. Everyone's excited to be in college. I think this could, we might break a record.
When you get that first game and the students are there, it's the first weekend. Nobody's going home to do laundry. Everybody's there. It's going to be exciting, and I really can't wait to see what it's like. The crowd, Emmett just talked about what the fan, how many fans are going to be there. 26,000 is what he estimated. I could easily see that, because
the only thing, and I'm going to put a damper on our high we're on right now, but the only thing that concerns me a little bit, I did have one guy in my tailgate and group that's there for pretty much every game back out earlier today because of Labor Day conflicts. That's the only thing that I think we're not as used to dealing with Labor Day as being our opening weekend, because we're usually on the road. So we may see a little bit of that. And then I think the heat could be an issue for some people as well.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. But still, yeah, the heat will be an issue. So I don't know if the tailgating scene will be there. You might have a lot of latecomers to the game.
And if the heat's an issue, you would hope, hey, you know, come at halftime or something. Come after come when it cools down. It's not going to be 103 the whole night.
No, but it'll still be pretty miserable there. This is a good place to plug the club level suites. Club level seats where you can go back and stand in the air conditioning and get free drinks.
That's a nice, that will be a very, that club level seat has a lot of value for a game like this.
All right, so obviously the last week we've had a lot of talk about Idaho and what they can bring. Give me a last minute talk about I know a lot of people have been talking on here in the chat room right quick about Freddie Warner. Let's ask Brett what he knows about that situation. We'll talk to Brett here in a minute, and we haven't talked to him also.
Yeah, there was a tweet by another player on the team, Darius Terrell, saying keep Freddie Warner in your prayers. Of course, Freddie Warner he's playing safety for us. He's a highly ranked recruit, very good player that unfortunately had basically two ACL blowouts and fought back in the spring, had a huge, you know, contraption on his knee, kept working out, worked his way back into the two deep at safety, and you just hope and, you know, pray that it's nothing, you know, nothing serious, but when you see a tweet like that, it does make you concerned.
Right. Somebody else put on there that it was not that serious, but still bad, or not too bad, but still serious. I don't know what that means, but hopefully we'll hear something on that pretty soon. We need everybody healthy going into this weekend. We need to make a huge showing before week two, obviously.
Absolutely.
All right. So with that, Harry, we got about 20 minutes in. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get Brett on?
Someone's mentioning the depth chart. That was released earlier in the week. My first comment on that, and I put pretty much the same thing on the board. I mean, I'm thrilled with it. I mean, this is as deep a team as we've had in a long, long time. We're going to have 8 or 9 guys on the offensive line playing the game. That's a direct quote from Mac, which we just haven't been able to do that in the past. We've got depth at quarterback. Last year we had DT, and that was pretty much it. So now we've got 3 guys behind him that hopefully can help us win. Was worried about the defensive line. We've talked about that a lot. Not as worried. I feel like at least the vibe I'm getting from the coaching staff and the things that I'm hearing is they feel pretty good about the group we have. They're not the biggest defensive line in the world, but they're really quick. And we've got a little bit of depth that we haven't had in the past. So I'm really optimistic at this point, Evan. I know I'm biased, being a North Texas homer, but I look at this game against Idaho and feel like it's a game we should win pretty handily. If everything goes our way and we play up to our full potential, I feel good about this game, and I think it's going to be a really good feeling for a change to start off the season with a win.
All right, I'm looking at the chat room. 31 people in the chat. Well, it's going up and down. Since ladies are present, so we have to watch ourselves. So we'll go ahead and bypass the ratings of the dance squad members this year, just to make sure. I know that's a hot thing we do every year, but we're going to go ahead and skip that. And we're going to go ahead and pause the broadcast while we get Brett Vito on, and I'm sure he'll have plenty to say. His yearly preview of the football that's always very highly ranked. It's a must-have for any fan. Let's go ahead and talk to him, because I know he'll want to talk.
If you have
about
questions
that
for Brett when he comes on, feel free to put him in the chat room. We'll ask him.
Okay. That's a good point, Harry, but real questions. We're not asking if anybody's ever found Ray. We're not asking him if they ever found a quarterback's dog. We're not asking, come on. Serious questions. All right. We'll get him on. Be back in 1 second.
All right.
All right. We're back, and joining us on the phone after a quick intermission was the beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Brett, a lot of stuff going on. I think one of the things that's popped up recently, a lot of people are asking about right now, is have you heard anything about Freddie Warner?
Made a couple of calls, haven't heard anything back yet. Everybody else, I saw what everybody else did. There's been some rumblings among the players, that you can follow on Twitter, and probably everybody does, to keep Freddie in mind. Now, what ended up happening, I don't know, but, we'll probably find out here in the next few hours if he was hurt in practice or what exactly the deal is.
Brett, I know there was a big article that went up today regarding this sort of Hard Knocks program documentary type thing. You mentioned you were interviewed for it. Can you talk a little bit about that? That sounds like a pretty exciting new situation for North Texas athletics.
Yeah, it's interesting. I knew that they were going to announce it. I was asked to talk, to do some interviews over the course of the season for it, didn't really say much about it, but then when North Texas announced that they were going to go ahead and make the announcement official tomorrow, went ahead and said, that's the deal, and it's going to be a lot like what they did with SMU a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, maybe it was 2012, but, they're going to, as far as I remember, it was a documentary-style type program, and since I was interviewed for the first part of it, I have a kind of a handle on what it's going to be. Hard Knocks would probably be, for my guess. I just generically know that this is the ballpark of what they're doing, be a pretty fair comparison, I would think.
Brett, do you know when that's going to air or when it's going to start?
No, I don't. And that was kind of why we wanted to tease to a little bit. And then, I'm sure that they will come out with a bunch more information in terms of what exactly it's going to be and what the plans are and things like that. But just generically, it was going to be kind of a documentary type thing from my impression, from my involvement in it. So
Brett, we got to talk about the season. I mean, we're just a couple of days away from Mean Green football. What are your thoughts? I mean, you've been following the program closer than anybody. What are the key storylines going into this opening contest against the Idaho Vandals?
Well, I mean, as far as storylines go, I mean, I think one of the big ones and the obvious ones is how it works out with Derek Thompson back as the starting quarterback. I mean, that's what a lot of people were wondering and talking about, and there was some thinking there that, you know, that maybe Brock Berglund would come in and win that job, or that maybe one of the guys that's already on campus would win that job. And then it kind of took on another bit of life when Deshaun Williams made a quick impression in practice and, you know, was kind of praised for it. And with practice being closed, it's always kind of hard to get a real good handle on it. I know they opened it up a couple of practices just to Letterman and things like that, but
it's got to be tough for that filming crew.
See the day-to-day of how things were looking. And I always thought in spring that Derek looked the best and the most consistent over the course of spring practice. But, I mean, what happens in the fall, you don't see, so it's kind of hard to tell. I thought it'll be real interesting to see how he does. Supposedly he's improved a lot since the end of last season, and we'll see how it goes. That's one. Another one, it'd be interesting to see if North Texas' defense plays better than it did at the end of last year, where they struggled in some games. You know, people talk a lot about that last game against Western Kentucky. Yeah, you know, the interception really turned the game, but then North Texas allowed a couple of late scores that turned that game around. I'll be interested to see if they really make some time headway.
You have your prediction contest on your blog, and it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of participation every year. So just so we're clear, where were you on the record for that this year?
I picked them to go 5-7. Okay. You know, and I'm usually fairly close. I've been off, I've been way off a couple, I think maybe just once or twice, but usually I'm fairly in the ballpark. And I think most people generally are. I mean, the schedule's awfully difficult. I mean, I know people just totally dismiss those WAC teams, but I think Ball State and Ohio are pretty darn good, especially Ohio on the road. Ball State, you know, yeah, it's a winnable game, but they do have some talented players back. North Texas has got some question marks. You know, Georgia's kind of one of those games you automatically toss out of there, just because of how talented Georgia is. And, you know, Conference USA is not going to be easy either, even though it's probably not what it once was. So I kind of came down somewhere in the middle and picked him to fall just a little bit short of 500.
Okay, so DT goes in, hopefully he has a great game, throws a bunch of touchdown passes. Let's look at the other side, the darker side. DT goes in, struggles. Who's the first quarterback Chico brings off the bench for UNT?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question. And I would think, just from what they're telling you, and since you can't see anything, you have to kind of go just by what everybody says. And I've talked to a few players, and I hesitate to quote a lot of those kids on what they see, you know. But sometimes you'll get an honest opinion depending on what you're asking. And I asked a few different players, a few different people, and they say Deshaun Williams is awfully athletic and awfully talented, but he's also really pretty raw. And, you know, if Derek struggles and they want to go to somebody else, I think it just depends on the situation. I mean, if you're looking for somebody that's just a change of pace kind of thing, or maybe you could bring in a real athletic player like Deshaun Williams and have him run out of the Wildcat, maybe change things up a little bit and go that route, or are you looking to get somebody else in there that you're going to run a conventional offense with? And if they do that, I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I just don't get the feeling that they're real comfortable with Berglund, you know?
And why is that? I mean, this is the highest rated guy that they've, I mean, we were all doing backflips year ago.
You know, there was a whole Brock watch, you know, during the season last year, and he's on the sidelines. Look, there he is.
Evan's got a poster in his bedroom of Brock in a swimsuit.
It's in the study. It's not in the bedroom.
That's an interesting deal. You know, because I like Brock a lot. You know, he's a good guy. He was always really helpful. He sure as heck helped my blog traffic. Holy cow, that whole Brock Berglund watch thing was great for about 4 months or something like that. But, you know, he hasn't played football in a long time, and maybe that's part of the deal. You know, he never really, you know, it didn't work out at Kansas, and he goes to junior college, and it doesn't work out there, and then he comes here. I mean, just the longer you lay out, the more, you know, rust you get. And I also wonder, too, just from watching him in spring, and I stood there at every practice and watched, and I wonder how much of what made him so highly rated was just his athletic ability. And we saw that in spring. You know, he could run around. He could make plays with his feet. He's got a great arm. He's got all the physical tools. But sometimes I just kind of sat there and wondered if he was ever going to find his form to settle into an offense and do what a college quarterback needs you to do. Because, I mean, yeah, it's great if you can run around and make plays like Johnny Manziel every once in a while with your legs and with having a big arm. At some point, you've got to settle into an offense and go through your reads and find your receivers and keep your eyes downfield and make plays with your arm in more of a you know, he might have been able to get away with things due to his athletic ability in high school, especially in Colorado where high school football isn't as good. I just don't know if it's translated to North Texas yet in the college level.
Brett, you know, obviously with their closed practices, we don't know a lot of what's out there. I know you've talked to a lot of players, seen a lot of things out there. Who do you think is going to be the biggest surprise and of the season? Who are we going to really be surprised by seeing?
Oh, heck. I mean, that is so hard to tell when you can't see anything. When you know, because you could kind of see it coming. I mean, even
Brett? I think we've lost Brett.
Did we?
See a guy.
Oh, there you go. We lost you there for a minute, Brett,
yeah,
just
Brett,
FYI.
We lost you for a second.
What?
I think we lost you again.
He's falling.
Here you guys.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, I walked to the other side of the house. I think we got a dead spot there. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that a lot of times you can see practice. I mean, even if you're not in college, can see a kid, you know, the part and is gonna translate, but without being able to see it, you just kind of have to go off of what's being said. Now they've said that they really like Darvin Kinzie. He might be somebody to watch for. Daryl Mason, he's another guy.
Man, you know, Mason has jumped out of there.
One day that the junior defensive end who's kind of been buried on the depth chart, never really translated and had some injury problems. Well, supposedly he's all healthy now. He looks the part. And supposedly now he's playing the part, too, in practice. I mean, he's going to get a long look with Brandon McCoy, you know, dealing with some injury issues. He might be somebody to watch out for that could have a breakout year. Because he had, I think, what, 6 tackles last year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
You know, I wrote that one day. But
yeah.
Like 6 tackles, he'd be one to watch. You know, those are a couple of the guys that I kind of wonder that might make a big difference. And Reggie Pegram, you know, the Purdue transfer, I mean, that guy played at the BCS level and had a huge – I mean, maybe he comes in and makes a big difference at running back, although that's a place where North Texas is pretty deep anyway.
Well, I've always been a big fan of Mason. I feel, you know, they brought him as a true freshman. He got playing time and made plays. The big knock on him was you're too small. You need to put on more weight. Well, when I saw him in the spring, I was like, this guy's put on a lot of weight. I mean, he looks like a legitimate Division I defensive end. So when he showed up as the, you know, starter, you know, that really got me pretty excited. I think this guy could really help us. If he can stay healthy, that's the big question mark.
Well, yeah, and the thing you wonder, too, is you look at that defensive end position – and you think, okay, well, Brandon's not playing right now because he's been hurt and he's been out of practice. Is Daryl Mason a guy that's in there because Brandon McCoy is hurt and they need somebody? Or is Daryl Mason risen to that point because he's legitimately develop himself into being a college-level defensive end that can really make a difference for him. And we'll find out pretty quick. And, you know, maybe, hopefully it's the latter, and I think there's probably a pretty good chance it is the latter, but you really don't know until you kind of see him out there. And that's the big thing with North Texas a lot, especially that defensive line. I mean, you know what you're going to get from a couple of those guys, but there's a lot of question marks up front that, you know, they're going to have to get answers early in the season.
Brett, a lot was made early on, people talking about, well, if the weather is hot, it'll be in our favor. People from Idaho are discounting that. Do you think that's going to play in?
Oh, sure. It'll factor. I mean, I don't see how it couldn't be. I mean, it's going to be 100 degrees out there or something like that.
Yeah, they're saying 103.
Game starts at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're in pretty good shape. And with the Petrino team, I would imagine they would be. So say they're in shape, the sun goes down, it cools off a little bit, you get off the field at halftime, you get some water. But yeah.
I think you're hitting a dead spot there. There you go.
If you think about it, I mean, it's the first game that Idaho's had with their new coach. North Texas is going to be in front of a home crowd. You know, you've got a veteran team. There's not a lot of new guys that you're dependent on in a lot of different places. I mean, it's pretty much, it seems like to a large degree, it's the same batch of guys from last year. So really, this should all set up perfectly for North Texas. It always worries you because, you know, it being North Texas in the post-bowl area, you know, every time you think it's all lined up perfect, something horrendous goes wrong. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, Brett, we're getting close to the end of the show, but we know you've got a big announcement because you've got your big big project every year is the football write-up that you've got. And is that being released tomorrow, is that correct?
Yeah, the last part of it printed. We finished it. I saw the PDFs of it, which everybody knows what PDFs are these days. Yeah, I saw the PDFs after they went to press. It should have run either late tonight I think it ran late tonight. You know, it'll be, you know, it'll go to the stapler and then it'll be the, I don't know, man. Maybe everybody, it's something that we spend a lot of time on. We literally start meeting and discussing and figuring out what we're going to do after the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament is over. I mean, it's that long a deal. And, this year we went up to 120 pages in the new format that we went to. It's got a 12-page like signature in the middle that talks a lot about Conference USA. Well, it's mostly photos and graphics and stuff like that that talks a lot about Conference USA. 120 pages overall. I think there's 30-some-odd pages on it on North Tech and all local high schools, too, for people that are the high school fans. It's really something that we take a lot of pride in. It's something that we think we do well. We're the New York Times or the Dallas Morning News, and we make our fair share of mess-ups, and we're not perfect. But I think this is one thing that, as a paper, we do really well. The section's been named one of the top 10 for our circulation size in the entire country the last 5 straight years. We're looking for number 6 this year, and I think it's probably one of the better ones we've ever done. We've got a big spread on UNT's move to Conference USA, like I was talking about, with those 12, and then the additional 12 pages of photos. We talked to Derek Thompson a little bit about, you know, where his motivation and that kind of thing comes from. We found a good backstory then on him. And just a lot of other stuff in there. It's jam-packed full of football. If you like football, it's a good thing to pick up. And then it always pains me every year that we sell it for 50 cents, considering it takes us, you know, literally months to put together, and you know, I don't sleep for about 3 weeks to get it done. But
so, Brett, well,
probably the best bargain you're going to get if you like college and high school football for 50 cents to go out there and pick that thing
up. So, obviously, if you're in Denton, you need to go pick it up. And if you're coming to Denton this for the game this weekend, I would say when you're stopping to buy your beer or something else, pick up a copy of it as well, right? It's going to be hanging around for a couple of days, I would hope.
Yeah, and for those of you wondering, it will end up online and in PDFs, I believe, because, you know, we do have a pretty big online audience. But we did tweet it out the cover today, and it'll be in the paper tomorrow. I put it on the blog. I'm sure probably most everybody's seen it.
Cool. Well, it sounds like it's great. It sounds like you guys put a lot of work into it. We appreciate it as the fans, and I can't wait to read it. I'm looking forward to it.
It's good stuff. Anything else, Brett, before we let you go?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it, but that'll be the exciting thing. Hopefully the magazine turns out in the paper tomorrow, but thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, always a pleasure. We'll be talking to you next week and see your thoughts about, hopefully, a North Texas win over Idaho.
So follow Brett's blog and follow him on Twitter, and you can read his tweets.
Exactly.
Thanks, Brett. Take care.
Yes.
Take care.
I don't think Brett was doing the dishes much too, as a few people said, but you know, we're lucky to have him on there. You know, with this day and age in media, we're lucky to have somebody like Brett that knows the program like he does. You know,
absolutely.
He does. This is what he eats, breathes, sleeps, this program. And that thing he's talking about coming out in the paper, that is great. If you've never seen one, read
it's
the
cool.
PDFs, print it up, try to get a copy of it. But that is like your primer. That's going to tell you everything you need to know about North Texas football.
Yeah, we got to keep buying them. We got to keep it going because, you know, you want them to keep doing it. And so pick one up on your way into town for the game. I know I'm going to.
I don't know what just happened there. All right, so with that, Harry, we have got a game in like 3 days.
I can't wait.
This is great stuff. I can't see on the thing where he says exactly how far the game is.
I mean, you can tell there's 45, 50 people in the chat tonight. It's exciting time. Everybody's ready for football. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah,
I really believe it is.
Yes, and somebody just put great day even with the shirt. So I don't think the shirt's one of our biggest problems right now. So, guys, let's be positive. And
we'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give a kudos to Troy Cokejohn and Prospect Mortgage Company, who is sponsoring us on the board. And keep in mind, we'll be having this show again next week, hopefully talking about a big victory.
Yeah, definitely about a victory. And for those of you, you've got the link here. Save this link at themixler.com/gomeangreen.
For the postgame show.
Green, yeah. It's HTTP ../mixler.com/gomeangreen. If you go to that link on your phone after George and Harry or George and Hank are done, you can like pick up and listen to it on your phone through your car radio if you know how to do that. Most people do. You can listen to the post-game show. We will give you our thoughts and opinions on how the game went directly after the game.
Yeah, don't miss that. We had a lot of fun doing that last year, and we're excited to be doing it again this year. So it'll give you something to listen to on the way home, hopefully.
All right. With that, go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.